Welcome to Vantage Points Flashback. We look through local history for stories that help us understand each other as neighbors. Battle at Grand Coteau. For 7 years, I had the job of a lifetime. If, that is, you like traveling over the prairie in a noisy cart looking for buffalo. No, I wasn't a hunter of the majestic beasts. I was sent by the Catholic Church to be a traveling priest to the Métis buffalo hunters. As labor-intensive and as exhilarating as it was, the job nearly cost me my life. Let me explain. I'm Father LaFletche, originally from Quebec. I was 21 years old and freshly ordained when sent to Fort Garry. My grandmother taught me to appreciate her indigenous traditions, and I knew of the Métis by reputation. But I was out of my depth when it came to living on the open prairie. There's much to learn and so much to respect. They're a hard-working people, the Métis, with an inclination to dance exuberantly to a fiddle when they get together. They follow both their European and indigenous traditions, making for a most unique culture. At the beginning of summer 1851, we assembled a hunting expedition with wagons, soldiers, women, children, oxen, and horses. We traveled west and south from the Emerson-Pemina crossing into North Dakota to a place called the Grand Coteau, near the southernmost bend of the Souris River. This was Sioux, Dakota country. With danger in mind, our scouts traveled to the north, south, and west of us, remaining alert for buffalo and for Dakota lodges. The Métis and Dakota had become bitter enemies, competing as they did for dwindling buffalo harvests. If a warning was sent, we were to circle our wagons. On July 13th, a warning did come that thousands of battle-ready Dakota were advancing. A clash over dominance on the prairie was inevitable. A clash over dominance on the prairie was inevitable. Immediately we drove the oxen into a circle with the tongues of the wagons facing inward, adjoining wheels touching, so enemy's horsemen couldn't penetrate. Women, children, cattle, and horses were huddled inside the circle while men quickly dug pits outside the circle so they could lie under the back of the wagon with rifles facing out, a strategy the Métis have fashioned for this very purpose. This would be a test. The Dakota fought by sending fiercely painted warriors in successive waves, firing guns and arrows from under the necks of fast, nimble horses. Odds were against us. We were outnumbered 100-1. But there wasn't time for fear. I went from soldier to soldier, from family to family, offering encouragement and blessings. It was an eternity, and yet it was timeless. After 2 days of onslaught, our wagon circle prevailed. Our men and boys, and some women, I should add, are well skilled with rifles. The battle strategy proved effective. The Dakota, it seems, had bargained on us surrendering, but they suffered many casualties, and we only a few. Hallelujah. The following day, as we were celebrating, the Dakota sent an emissary stating they would never again attack a Métis hunting party, called us the masters of the plains. For now, at least, the Battle of the Grand Coteau established the Métis as a fully formed nation, capable of determining its own destiny, fighting its own battles. I adapted Battle at Grand Coteau from a letter Father LaFletche wrote to his superiors. All radio stories are available at discoverwestman.com/community. Find out about Turtle Mountain Souris Plains Heritage Association at vantagepoints.ca. Thank you, Municipal Councils and Manitoba Heritage, for your support. See you later.